My name is Rito Guler. I'm a senior research officer lecturer at the Division of Immunology at University of Cape Town, South Africa. And our research very much involves on TB and host-directed drug therapy for tuberculosis. So tuberculosis is a very large health problem and a severe complication because the current antibiotics are targeting the TB strains, and they can develop multi-drug resistance. So there's certainly a need for alternative therapy. So what we actually advocate is a host-directed therapy. Instead of targeting the bacteria, we'd like to find factors in the host, mainly in macrophages, that TB uses to develop resistance and survival. So in order to identify these factors, published a very nice overview of our work last year, Nature Chemical Biology in 2015, on host-directed drug therapy for TB. So there we identified cholesterol as a very important host factor to target by statins, and we showed that statins can actually induce phagosomal maturation, phagosomal lysosome fusion, and autophagy, and this ultimately leads to decreased burden in macrophages. So it's really important to understand the host pathogen interaction and how TB influence and modulates these host factors. So therefore we also want to screen for additional drug targets. So we're part of that Phantom 5 consortium. It's a large consortium based in Riken in Japan. And within this transcriptomics technology cage that we're currently using, we've published in Nature and Science. And importantly there, we want to identify as well epigenetic factors that TB actually uses in macrophages to establish resistance. And as well, we're focusing on microRNA and long non-coding RNA. So part of this mechanism, how MTB wants to prevent and induce persistence, is to prevent antigen processing or antigen loading. So I'm very much interested as well in MHC class 1 and MHC class 2 presentation. So what's really the biological significance of MHC class 1 and 2? So this is basically the textbook knowledge that when a cell is infected, for example, with a virus, there's MHC class 1 antigens that are presented, and then cytotoxic CD8 T cells recognize them and then using then the killing of the infected cell. In contrast, the MHC class 2 works slightly different, where you have presentation of antigen on the MHC class 2 complex that's recognized mainly by CD4 T cells and then used in help. So they're helping the macrophages to clear the invading pathogen. However, also MHC class 2 can be found on B cells, and these antigens in their complex are recognized by the T helper cells as well, CD4 T helper cells, which can help the B cells to produce a sufficient antibody. So what's really the MHC class 1 endogenous pathway is quite different from the MHC class 2 exogenous pathway. So how are these antigens processed within the cells? As the name says, it's endogenous pathway, meaning that the peptides are generated endogenously. So for example, if a cell infected with a viral, so these viral proteins are degraded by the proteasome, and then the peptides, they get transported through the TAP into the endoplasmic reticulum, and there they can actually bind to the MHC class 1 molecules. And these molecules get then transported through vesicles, through the Golgi, and then subsequently exposed on the plasma membrane. So the difference to MHC class 2 presentation is that these peptides, they derive from exogenous source. That means exogenous antigens are phagocytosed, and they are contained in an endosomal compartments, which are then lysed and deliver the peptides in the endosomal compartment. So the MHC class 2 molecules, they actually synthesized and the loading of the invariant chain will happen in the endoplasmic reticulum that really prevents binding of additional peptides, and there it also drives the MHC class II molecule into the Golgi apparatus and subsequently into that endosomal compartments that contain these foreign peptides. And there the invariant chains, it's then subsequently cleaved by proteases, cathepsins and others, and leaving a small little clip, a peptide that prevents then loading of non-specific antigens, so foreign antigens. And I think what's really important there, you have a HMG class 2-like molecule, the HLA-DM, which is a catalyst that helps actually the removal from the clips and then loading of these peptides, specific peptides, and they're transported to the surface. So there's also, for example, glycolipids, which are also presented not through MHC class 1 or MHC class 2, they're presented through CD1D, which is another molecule that presents glycolipids. So what's really important, how pathogens can also prevent these loadings of the MHC class 2 and as well can prevent transcription of MHC class 2. For example, chlamydia produces a virulence factor, CPAF, so they prevent the transcription of MHC class 1 or MHC class 2, but as well a Helicobacter pylori can actually induce a virulence factor, VAC-A, and this one is important to prevent the loading of the peptides to the MHC class 2. And viruses have also established and elaborated mechanisms to prevent the MHC class 1 on the surface, so misdirecting MHC class 1. So in terms of TB, how TB works, misdirecting the MHC class 2 would be then to produce a virulence factor, the 19 kilodalton lipoprotein, and this one actually induces epigenetic changes through H3 and H4 hypomethylation. It also prevents MHC class 2 transcription through preventing that's based on the CIITA locus. So I think this is basically the end where I really highlighted the process of MHC class 1 and MHC class 2's presentation or pathogens can actually use within their virulence factor to prevent that an adaptive response is initiated.